Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. We begin looking at the recent raids in Mississippi, where more than 680 immigrants were picked up by ICE.
But first, we listen to a news clip on the ICE operation in Mississippi.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement handcuffed hundreds of immigrant workers and loaded them onto buses as co-workers and family members watched in disbelief.
Por favor,
please.
Kids left not knowing where their parents were being taken. This 11-year-old says her father was among those detained.
I need my dad for me.
Jordan Barnes opened up his gym to children with nowhere to go.
The kids should be the main priority. If we all put the kids first and do what we can to help them to make this as less painful as possible for them.
Tonight, this woman tells us her husband is among those still detained. She says she's been in the U.S. for 24 years. This church, now a sanctuary for those in limbo, like this one-year-old girl. The priest here tells us her mother is in custody. He's taking care of the baby as her father tries to find his wife.
And now, looking at the issue of the Mississippi ICE raids. Immigrant workers terrorized in Mississippi as Trump's ICE grandstands in El Paso after triggering white nationalist massacre. With Bill Chandler, executive director of the Mississippi Immigrants' Rights Alliance, and Luis Espinosa, Central Mississippi community organizer. Now, again, while the ICE operation took place, it should be considered an act of terror committed against working families by the Trump administration, acting under the guise of a profoundly unjust immigration series of laws inspired by racist and xenophobic contempt against people from Mexico and Latin America. Raids targeting workers who are fighting every day to care for their families are a waste of public resources that could otherwise be spent combating the white nationalist terrorism that has claimed the lives of so many over the years, including the other week in Texas.
We must redouble our efforts to protect vulnerable families. For we who are dedicated to social justice and human dignity, we must step up to protect the families being attacked. They are our neighbors who must make massive economic and cultural contributions to our communities and country.
And yes, they do make those contributions to us every day. And the Trump administration has enacted new regulations that would deny green cards to documented in some form or other, or immigrants who are living here who are able legally to partake of public service benefits, whether it's subsidized housing, buildings that is public housing, or otherwise, being able to get food stamps, being able to partake in Medicaid and the like. It is a heinous, ugly administration that would seek to balance the long-term ability to keep or to get a green card against public benefits. And, of course, the Trump administration will be fought tooth and nail on those things. But now to go to Mississippi, 680 workers picked up in recent raids.
Bill, for those who aren't too familiar with this, why don't you just begin by talking about the extent of the attack on these families, the ICE raids?
Yeah, well, you know, what has happened here in Mississippi, 11 years ago there was a raid at an electrical transformer plant that they arrested 592 workers. And we had to respond to that, and the whole aftermath of that still isn't over with, as we are still engaged in legal support for people that had been arrested at that time. And what has happened here in Mississippi, we have seven different poultry plants that were hit, and it's very difficult for us right now because they're in seven different locations and seven different communities, unlike the Laurel raid, which was in one community. And we're trying to reach out and get centers where workers can go, the workers that were victimized by this raid can go and begin getting legal support and also material support for their families, particularly with those that do not have a breadwinner that can work and provide food for their family. And we're trying to deal with the kids. You mentioned the person that had the gym that has taken children in, and people in the communities where the raids took place are really coming to the aid of those victims.
Luis Espinosa, you're a community organizer. Set the scene for us. Tell us about who these people are, these hardworking men and women that were in these plants. Talk about what the community is like.
Well, it's a very, very numerous community from Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. And this is people who came to this country and they start to work. They have a really good level of working class. So they has been taking the plants and they are happy with them at the plants. So they start to have a family here. So many of those people, many of those workers, they already have key children born in the United States. And those children are the ones they suffer that kind of raid, where when they go back from the school, they don't have the parents with them. They don't have the father, maybe the mother. So they have to start to find out what happened with the family, what happened with the parents, when they are going to go back to see the father or the mother. So it's a really the whole family, because, of course, the father or the mother at the plant, when the raid happened, they worry. The main thing they worry is about the kids. What's going to happen with the kids? What's going to happen? Who's going to take care of that? Who's going to take care of those kids? Because maybe they waiting at the school to their father or mother go and pick them up, and it do not happen. So it's a really a big trauma they have to deal with.
And roughly how many people live in the community as a whole? I'm trying to get a sense of what percentage these workers are of the entire community, and that these are long-term workers. These are not folks who have been here for a short period of time. Is that also what you're saying, Luis?
Yes. Many of those workers already has been here for 10, 15, 20 years. So they have been just working and working and working and trying to give a good education to the children. Yes, about the number, I really don't know exactly how many families, but if you can just make some kind of numbers, if there was 880 people in those riots, so you can multiply that for, I don't know, maybe 5-6 times. So you can see it's only about the people who has been working on those plants, and not all the plants have been attacked.
Yeah, one of the things also that's happening in the communities, most of the communities are small with a population of 10,000 or less. And so what has happened, in addition to the trauma with the families, is that a lot of businesses that have depended on those communities, on those workers, have nobody stopping them. One reason is because the people are gone. The other reason is that people are afraid to leave their homes at this point and go shopping. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is get food, commodities, and so on for the people. So we have been asking for monetary donations to be sent to, you can do it through the website of the Mississippi Immigrants Rights Alliance, and that is www.yourmira.org, and that's yourmira.org. And, you know, it has been terrible. The other thing that
is a problem is that all of these people that have been arrested, whether they were released for quote-unquote humanitarian reasons or other reasons or are still locked up, they need legal support. And so we have been trying to get volunteer attorneys to come to Mississippi at their own expense, and particularly attorneys that have some expertise or experience in immigration law, because immigration law is extremely complicated and no two immigrants are the same. They have different situations with their families and they have different charges against them. We will have, I'm sure, a lot of people charged criminally because of false IDs. Some of the people actually had false identification or they used other names. Those are also violations, not only just because people are here without authorization. People had to come here because, particularly from Central America and Southern Mexico, there's been tremendous violence because of the competition between cartels for the trafficking and drugs up into the United States. But, for example, there's environmental issues, particularly with people from Guatemala, because the climate has changed. They're not getting the rain that they were used to getting over centuries, and so they can't grow. A lot of the people that we have seen in other situations from Guatemala are emaciated, and it's clear that they had been starving. So you have, you know, all kinds of issues involved with this, and the raid just demonstrates the racism of the Trump administration and the cruelty of the Trump administration and the things that they're doing. And what you mentioned earlier about the loss of benefits that people experience, and we're talking about green card people who are already barred for 5 years to get any kind of federal benefits that they needed, being dumped from the rolls of welfare or food stamps or all those things that you mentioned. And, you know, this is a cruel administration, and a lot of people are calling for his impeachment, but I think those of us who know what's going on in our communities are going to be working hard to defeat him. But we have a problem here in Mississippi with the politicians, and that is all of the leading politicians, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, in one way or the other have basically expressed xenophobia and racism over the years. And that is a major problem here because we just had a primary election, and one of the people that has worked for us and was a founding member, an African-American woman, has been under attack by in the Democratic primary by white Democrats. And we're in a runoff there. But you also probably saw that Tate Reeves, who's a Republican candidate for governor, made a nasty response, and Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota hit him back with her own tweet, and I think that was wonderful. She is a former refugee from Somalia. She has gone through the process as a teenager, became a U.S. citizen, and is an activist in Minneapolis. And we are excited about her anyway to begin with, but I think she had an appropriate response to our Republican gubernatorial candidate.
Going back to what is going on here, we have to remember that it's not only a problem for 1-2 days. It's going to be a really all these families, they need our help for maybe weeks, months, because it's not only about the legal situation right now, but it's because they cannot work for now until they can fix this situation. So we have to help them to support the families. So that's why we trying to give them the support right now with the legal assistance, with provide them food. We are planning to help them to the way they can really claim the paycheck, because right now, because if they are in jail, they cannot go and pick up the check. So we are trying to help about that situation too. And even the if they do not work, they cannot pay the rent, utilities. So in that way, we are working on to help them too in that way.
Luis, I know that a number of black churches you've been going around to with Bill and another other people have been giving support in the community.
Yes.
Who has been supporting these workers within those communities?
Let me give you an idea. Is all the Catholic churches, Christian churches, different organizations has been so wonderful, amazing, the way the all the community here in Mississippi is helping us. You know, and not only the Mississippi community, but we have phone calls from all the United States and asking how they can help, how they can give some kind of help to these families. So they send donations, they send food, and everybody want to be like a volunteer. They came from everywhere. And even there's that people even sometimes even didn't call to see, okay, how can I help? The last week, one person just knocked the door from Atlanta and said, I'm here to help. How can I help you? So it's amazing, and I really appreciate it. Say thank you for that kind of help. For everybody.
The idea of, in many of these instances, a fundamental breadwinner has been removed from the family. So what is that going to mean for the people left behind? And I should say that many of the people who have been held have been taken out of the state and are now imprisoned in Louisiana, which certainly makes things extremely difficult on all kinds of levels. So tell us more about what you think happens to the families that are left behind. Certainly what happens to the children, what happens to people now who have lost their breadwinners.
What we know has been sent to different locations, one here in Mississippi, another one in Louisiana. And what is going to happen is the community is going around those families and help them to in any way they can. And, of course, they planning to, many of the people I talk with, they planning, because they are American citizens, the kids, so they want to keep going to school. They are sometimes afraid, but then that is why the community, even the same churches, help them to understand they have to, with more reason, to go to school and be a good student so they can at any moment defend the families. But yes, that is why it's the Latina community in this kind of situation. They are all together and help each other. One family, the neighborhood, the friends are together and they help the family who is without the father or the mother.
In addition to that, as you know, Mississippi has a very significant African-American community. And a lot of the organizations from the NAACP, the Children's Defense Fund, Southern Poverty Law Center, all of them have been involved in one way or the other. And a significant group, the Mississippi Missionary Baptist Churches, they're part of the National Baptist Convention, which is the black churches, they also have been helping. They're not necessarily in the same communities that the Latinos are in, but yesterday I spent my whole day going to speak at churches, at Missionary Baptist churches, to get the community to understand what's happening. And I found that people really understood and are trying to find ways to help. And many of them have made donations through our website to try to help out. So
tell us that website again, because we know that we want lawyers, particularly lawyers who have some experience in immigration, and we want donations to go down there. There's mighty work to be done. Tell us that again, and perhaps you can give us some idea in the minute or so that we have left. Why, Bill? Why Mississippi? Why these plants? What's the politics behind this?
Yes, there are politics totally, and Trump's allies, in fact, Trump probably learned from the politicians in Mississippi. With all his rhetoric and all his hate, We've had a whole bunch of them that have done the same thing. The governor here didn't want the kids, the initial flow of kids that came across the border from Central America. He did not want anybody in Mississippi, and he was going to cut the funds of any organization that did that. The same thing with the Syrian families. They didn't want Syrian families there. Ironically, our landlord is from Syria, so... but the thing is, our website is www.yourmira.org, and that's Y-O-U-R-M-I-R-A, of course, .org. The other thing is that with the legal support, they should contact attorney Patricia Ice, who is the director of our legal project, and if you go on the website, you'll find her telephone number.
Even if we are in Facebook, too. The people who like to just go to Facebook, we have a page where you can donate to.
Yeah, the best is through the website.
Okay.
Well, we're going to continue to follow up. We should even have more time, and we're not going to let this go. We want to know what's happening to these people who are picked up. We want to know more about what the community is doing to support them. But I guess the good news is the community is supporting them, notwithstanding the machinations of this miserable administration.
The community, and when I talk a community, I talk not only the Latino community, but all the communities. They don't see in those families, in those workers, they don't see illegals, they don't see criminals, drug dealers. They see only families looking for the best for the families. That's it.
Well, Luis Espinosa, Central Mississippi Community Organizer, Bill Chandler, Executive Director of Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance, I hope you'll come back and join us. We've got to follow through on this until all of these folks are released and until we have the kind of country where it is understood the appreciation for immigrants who have built this country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
And now a short excerpt from a press conference called by Mira shortly after the ICE raid in Mississippi.
I wanted to go into the union. These plants, in some cases, workers got together and organized a union. And I went to bring Milton Thompson, who's an organizer with the United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 1529, also a co-founder of MIRA and served on our board for some time.
If you feel like I do, I'm tired.
Yeah,
I'm tired. Mm-hmm. What went on yesterday is just nonsense. We're here to support our members, their families, and the whole nine yards. And we ask you, if you're tired like I am, get on board. This is 2019, as Jim stated. This is not 1919. And the time is all for us to come together now and stand for the people. I don't just stand for the union. I stand for the people.
Right.
And we ask you, get on board with us. And like I said, we are on the ground running right now. We have our attorneys coming in town to assist their families in all kind of ways. Again, as I talked to Senator Norwood just a minute ago, this is a great showing today, but I need your support on next week. I need you guys. And like I said, you know, saying we under the same umbrella. You stand with me for standing for the people. And like I said, I know we voted this week, but we need to get busy. And we had enough of here in Mississippi being treated any kind of way. Now, if you belong to a union or not, I'm asking you today, stand with me, not just because I'm a union man, because I stand for what is right.
There you go.
Now, that's my stand, Bill. We thank you for the opportunity, and we stand behind Mira, and we stand behind everybody. Thank you.
I'm going to go next to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been a partner of ours in many of the struggles that we've had over the last 20 years. And I wanted to bring Brandon Jones, who's a representative of SPLC.
Southern Poverty Law Center stands in solidarity with our friends at MIRA. And as you've all heard, this is a crucible moment in Mississippi. It's a moral moment in Mississippi. Hundreds of families separated, and just so that the public knows, there are those attorneys, there are churches, there are individuals, and there are other families that are working together to try to help those affected by yesterday's raid. And as we were just admonished to do, we will be here not just today, but in the weeks and years to come as we help to rebuild families and rebuild a little bit of what was lost yesterday for our state and humanity.
Thank you.
I'm Justin McCreary. I'm the minister with the Unitarian Universalist Church of Jackson, Mississippi. I got up this morning and thought about pulling my Bible out, which is not something Unitarians do all the time. I've thought about pulling it out and looking up the passages that I was raised with in my Christian church. I've thought about looking about the passages that talk about immigrants, that talk about strangers, that talk about aliens. And then I put it back down because we've been saying those blasted passages for the last 5 years, 4 years, 2 years. How long have we stood at these pulpits and repeated the same passages over and over again? How long do we have to stand here to accept federal agents coming into Mississippi and taking our people away, who work hard for us to make our lives better? Tonight there are people going to bed afraid. There are children scared they'll never see their parents again. There are parents afraid that they're never going to see their children again. This is not new. Bill very well alluded to the fact that our nation of laws has been doing this to people for a few hundred years now. We were a nation built on slavery. We were a nation built on oppression. We're a nation built on taking anybody who does not look like the majority culture and pushing them away. To the point to the fact that the majority culture thinks it's the majority culture.
Yeah.
So I came today with a prayer. But before I did that, I wanted to talk about what a prayer is. Because I think sometimes in the national conversation, we forget about what prayer really is. And this prayer isn't to God. I know she's been listening. It's to you. And I call upon you to remember that there are people afraid tonight. There are people going to bed wondering if they will ever see their family again. There are concentration camps on the border. So my prayer is to you to not let this pass without word, to start creating the beloved community that we've been called to do in the past. I believe God is waiting on us. Thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.